Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one ginger. Alexis, I like your sparkly little number you've got going on today.
This is an Adidas sweatshirt. Yes. Yeah. People have accused me of it being fake Adidas.
Oh. Why?
Because of the sparkly little cherries. But it was some collab they did. But I thought it was so cute. That but now cool. I realize it looks like a knockoff.
It looks like maybe you like DIY'd the patch.
Yeah, it did. It is very...
I got it from Nordstrom Rack.
I like it.
It's very interesting. She's wearing a sequin patch, little three triple cherries on her Adidas sweatshirt.
Kind of feels sexy.
Sexy?
Cherries.
Yeah.
Isn't there some connotation there?
Why are cherries sexual? Because you'd tie them in a knot with your tongue?
No, I think they used to...
It's like a virgin thing.
Like Papa Cherries was the...
Oh.
Which is so fucking gross.
So gross.
Ew. You men are sick.
Let's get rid of all
I
that.
I just actually thought about that.
You're welcome.
Gross.
You're welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. How are we feeling today?
Oh, really great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Summer's full swing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's my favorite time of the year.
I got home from Mexico yesterday. I had the best time.
Ugh.
Oh, my gosh.
Mexico.
I love Mexico.
We're going to Vegas next weekend to celebrate your bachelorette and bachelor party.
This is just when things start popping off for us.
This might be the last you ever hear from me.
Dude, I
might not make it through Vegas, to be
honest. I'm scared for us all, to be honest.
I can't wait.
It's going to be so fun. I can't wait to gamble.
I'm very nervous.
Yeah.
In a good way?
Getting all of our best friends in Vegas together. What could go wrong?
Yeah.
What could go wrong?
I can't wait to meet Vegas Matt.
Wow.
I have no idea who he's going to be
in Vegas. Because you guys were a COVID couple. You haven't traveled that much together.
We have domestically.
Yeah.
Mexico's was our first international trip. It was excellent. But, we've been to Atlanta. We've been to Tahoe. We've been to Texas, all that stuff. But Vegas is something else completely.
Oh, it really is.
Oh, Vegas is its own beast.
Right. You don't know how your partner is with gambling or staying up all night or all of Vegas's temptations.
Yes.
I'm just eager to see.
Sin City, baby.
I'm eager to see if he can stay up because he's been getting a full 8 hours plus a 3 hour nap per day.
Damn.
So I'm
dude.
Is he maybe saving up?
The guy can sleep.
The man took a 4 hour nap yesterday.
That is insane.
And he wasn't even out late. I went out the night before and he didn't.
I get a good 6 hours and maybe mid-afternoon panic attack. That's where
I'm
at.
Man has
that's impressive.
Some Z's
I don't even know if I really hit REM sleep.
That's so impressive.
I don't make it to REM very often.
He's
either.
A newborn babe.
He really
that's why
is.
His skin looks so good. So much regeneration.
I know, because he's he really is.
He's getting new cells every 2 years instead of the 7.
I know.
All of us are dealing with.
It must be nice.
Benjamin Button.
He doesn't have the horrors of women's minds racing when he's sleeping.
No, the man can fall asleep in 30 seconds.
God, must be nice. Well, before we jump into the day, just of course we have to plug Patreon.
So first of all, those of you already on Patreon, you're seeing us right now. Thank you so much for being here. We are growing more and more close and enmeshed with our Patreon family because we just love creating the content that we're able to create there.
Yeah.
We have video, obviously, for Killing Time. You will also get another episode per week if you're a Patreon subscriber, a fully researched true crime episode per week. And also, we have a lot of multi-part episodes coming down the pipeline. You'll get all of them at once. When a part one drops for everyone else, you're going to get all the parts at once, so you don't have to wait. You can binge them all then.
Yep.
Lots of perks. And any other thing that comes up, we're going to have a meetup in Chicago, it's looking you'll have first access to all the things that you want to get involved in. Patreon's sort of the place.
It's the place to be.
And for
it's
a measly $10, I know $10 isn't nothing, but we put a lot of work and care into it, so you will feel that.
Yeah, you're getting a lot out of it.
Exactly.
And we actually
basically put the same amount of effort that goes into our main feed
over there. It's almost exactly the same.
So it's definitely, and the library is growing like every week. It just gets bigger and bigger. So.
Right.
God, we've got lots of content out there in the world, in the universe.
Hope you don't feel saturated because we're going to keep it coming.
Keep it coming.
You could just make this podcast your whole identity.
Yeah.
Literally three days a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same. Okay. So do you want to get into the day today?
Absolutely.
The day is June 8th. Oh, it's so nice. But I'm going to tell you some facts. In 1786, commercially made ice cream was first advertised.
Goodness.
A great day, not dark day.
Thank God.
I know.
That's a light day.
There's one thing I love. It's ice cream.
That's fucking right.
Mm-hmm. Who doesn't?
I love a good ice cream.
Same.
Our invention for the day. 1824, the washing machine was patented by Noah Cushing of Quebec.
Wow.
Yeah.
A Canadian
yes. said, I'm sick of doing this by hand.
And 1824, the washing machine. That seems like it's 200 years ago.
But imagine all of the washing that needed to happen.
Well, I'm sure people weren't washing their clothes that often.
I don't know.
You're probably getting stinky.
Yeah.
People were
in the 1800s,
white
yes.
very much.
Think about how just throwing clothes in that bin, or it's like such an inconvenience.
I know.
Imagine you had to like walk down to the river and then like hang them up.
And they never really got washed. Because you're washing them in a dirty river.
I would have went dirty all the time. I'd be a nudist.
Yeah.
Get rid of clothes.
There you go.
That's the problem.
I'd be so cold. I'd be cold if I was a nudist if it was 90 degrees out. It'd still be cold.
Yeah. You get a chill if you're in the shade, for sure.
We got a double invention. 1869. Yves. I-V-E-S. How do you pronounce that?
V.
Yves.
Yves. Is it like V. Saint Laurent?
I think it's Yves.
Is it Y-V-E-S?
Or V.
I-V-E-S.
Ivy, I think Eve or
Ives.
V,
whatever. This guy from Chicago patents the first vacuum cleaner and calls it a sweeping machine.
Whoa.
Sweeping machine.
We're really getting into like productivity around the house on June 1st.
I have
June
a fun 8th. Fact.
What?
The word vacuum is the only word in the English language with a double U.
Wow. Oh.
The only word.
Oh. Interesting.
So wow. I'm, you know.
Who came up with that word? It seems like it's a weird one.
Vacuum. It sounds French.
Vacuum.
But it's an English word now, and it's the only one like it.
Wow. Interesting. That is a good wrinkle in the brain.
Glad that he called it a sweeping machine and not a sucking machine.
I thought it was sucking machine, but yeah, sweeping machine is better.
Yeah.
Sucking machine is something else.
No.
Okay. In 1963, the American Heart Association airs its first agency to campaign against cigarettes, which is it's a good move, but like we haven't gotten that far. And in 1968, James Earl Ray is arrested for conspiracy and murder related to the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Well, he should be in trouble for that.
Yes.
Dr. King was doing some fantastic things.
Yes. And you know who had a really good episode about Martin Luther King Jr. was Rabia and
Ellen Marsh.
Yeah, their new podcast. They did a really good deep dive into Martin Luther King Jr.
They did? Did they talk about his philandering?
I don't know.
He was a big adulterer.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, this is one of the, like, every single person you put on a pedestal.
Oh, it doesn't matter. They're
all
fucked
up. Perfect. And you can be an incredible civil rights leader.
Yeah.
You can be an inspirational social justice changer and still not be perfect. And he was a cheater.
Well, He cheated
on his wife constantly. Like, he had to address it publicly, which I didn't realize.
Oh, yeah, me neither.
It was like sort of his dark side, you know? But nobody's perfect.
Like, no.
And that's one great example of like where it's just going with
he's
the greater
human.
Good is what, you know, that's how history's going to go.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he's an inspirational man and he's a martyr. I mean, his life was taken when he was trying to move the needle, right?
Yeah.
Like, so that doesn't undermine his accomplishments.
No, we're all human, baby.
We're all human. And the last one is 1994. Joel Rifkin was sentenced to 27 years.
Bye.
Little Seinfeld reference for that one, too.
He's a terrifying man.
So scary.
We have a good episode on Joel Rifkin.
We do.
I think we have a two-parter.
Yeah. Oh, back in the day, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's very old, but it's a great up.
Before we get into the kind of deep dive, I want Jared to read June 8th as ChatGPT describes.
Let's get gloomy. All right, June 8th.
Let's get gloomy.
June 8th, a cruel mockery of summer. The scorching sun, annoying birds, and allergy-inducing flowers taunt us relentlessly. Outdoor activities become painful endeavors, from sweating profusely.
Jared.
To battling mosquitoes.
Yes.
Street markets offer overpriced, rot-prone produce, while cafes spill tables for us to sweat over.
Wow.
Wow. Hiking trails lead to dehydration and delirium. Beaches to sunburn and cancer fears. Did I write this?
This is written for you.
The sky's fiery hues laugh at our futile escape attempts. June 8th, a day that darkly jests at our suffering amidst the relentless summer heat.
We might have to do this in our real episodes.
I mean,
or be like, what we should ask ChatGPT. What happens on that day, and they might be able to pull from the whole interwebs.
Yeah, I think we need a refresh of kind of the introduction of the day.
Given this new tool, how can we not?
I mean, we could do anything.
I was really wondering how I could incorporate ChatGPT into my life, and I think this is a good introduction.
Yeah,
because I was having a lot of fun with going back and forth with it. Which I think is the whole
part. I love
part.
Reading them. Keep them coming.
I mean, I think it would also be super fun if for every Killing Time, we did a mid-journey image.
What do you mean? Oh, yes.
Yeah. Maybe something to post on social media that's describing what we talked about. Yes. An image where there's this and this and this and this. And it's...
Jack Vanek feet pick.
And in the caption, we can put the prompt that we did. And
I love that.
The picture.
Yes.
I'll do one per week.
Yeah, I love that. See, so we're really getting ChatGPT into
our lives. AI involved.
We're getting AI involved.
I mean,
I don't want to, but unfortunately, we have to.
Dude, truthfully, I also got selected to be one of the Google Labs. They're trying their AI out on me. Did I tell you this?
How did you get selected?
They just ran. It popped up.
Probably because how much time she spends in Google Docs
because of all these things. Yeah. So it sent me, it was just a prompt one day, and they sent me an email. They're like, you've been selected to beta test Google's AI.
Yeah.
And I haven't really done anything with it yet because I haven't had time, but I intend to try it.
Oh, I can't wait to see what
me
you find.
Too.
I like that we're incorporating all this stuff because when the robot overlords finally take over, they'll see that we were friendly.
We need to know the prompts. We got to learn the prompts.
Mm, yes. Yes.
That's the communication tool.
It is a little bit confusing at first, but I think once you're in, you're in.
I started a spreadsheet.
About what?
For Midjourney, and for those of you listening, Midjourney is a Discord server, which is AI-generated imagery, and you type what you want to see.
Yeah.
But you can type red camera, cinema, 4K, it knows what cameras would make things look like.
Yeah.
Super realistic, pixel art, pop art. There are so many, and I every time I come up with a really cool prompt, I screenshot it in the prompt and I put it on a note that I created.
Oh, yeah.
But you can also, you go through everybody else's because it's a live, it's a live
is
chat
it
on
all
Discord.
Public? You can't do it privately?
You cannot do it privately.
That's probably smart.
But I did try Jack Vanek and Alexis Linkletter or something, and they found pictures of us on the internet and they kind of look like us.
Kind of?
Kind of, because I also think they find pictures of my great grandfather, so I kind of look like a man too.
Oh, yeah.
But it still worked. It's interesting.
Well, we tried to do, for an episode of Lady Gang, Kelty asked ChatGPT who Lady Gang was, who Jack Vanek was, all of us, and it all spewed out something, and then she's like, and then I'm gonna do Jared.
I was like, don't do it,
and it was unavailable.
I'm sorry, I don't know that. no,
it won't know me either.
The awe, the feeling, the pity party. It's so funny because that's everyone's reaction, and I'm so glad. I'm I don't know if you ever watched Parks and Rec, but Ron Swanson never wants any sort of anything on the internet or public facing at all.
Well, unfortunately, Jared, you're in the wrong profession.
I know, but even so, it seems like I'm doing a pretty good job of just being under the radar.
He's the blurry guy.
It's the way I like it.
Yeah. Except for when so. I
do not feel bad for me. This is how I like it.
Okay. So the deep dive that we're going to do today is in 1949, George Orwell's 1984 was published. Mm. Did you guys read this in high school?
I have it at home.
Jared, did you read this in high school?
Of course I did.
I mean, a classic book.
I read it after high school.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I read it in adulthood.
Oh.
Really? I read it in maybe middle school.
Mm. They're not going to make you read that in middle school.
So.
I don't think so.
I do.
I
think it was at least ninth grade.
I read it
earlier.
In preschool.
Yeah. I read it in third grade.
Middle school.
It's way too dark of a book to read in middle school.
I read The Color Purple in middle school, and that's even darker.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
I don't remember any book I read in middle school.
Did you read Animal Farm?
Not for school, but yes.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll give the kind of TLDR of what 1984 is. I feel like most people have read it or are familiar with it. It says it introduced readers to the grim and oppressive world of Big Brother, newspeak, and the concept of a totalitarian regime. Orwell's prophetic novel continues to captivate and resonate with audiences, highlighting the dangers of surveillance, manipulation, and the erosion of individual freedoms. 1984 has become a cultural touchstone, influencing literature, film, and political discourse, leaving an enduring impact on our collective imagination. So, I mean, I think anybody that's read 1984 knows that in the current state of the world, shit is stranger than fiction.
Yeah.
And like so much of this shit is kind of happening all around us. And which is crazy because he wrote it in 1949.
That's what's so fascinating. But like, it's so overt. Like in, yeah. So for example, in 1984, there's like a box that looks like a TV and it literally tells you what to do. Like it makes you exercise and it makes you, it tells you everything you need to know about the world. But like, you're all seeing this, but it's a monitoring you too.
Yeah.
It's well, crazy. This is something that we're going to go into for True Crime.
Never mind.
So don't get too far ahead of myself. But that is, that's what we got. Oh, and I have a June 8th quote. I don't know if these are from people on June 8th, but or if it's somebody born on June 8th, mm-hmm. but it's from Sonia Braga. The only thing I know is that we came from the stars and that we have the same material as the stars. That's all I know. Everything else, I don't know.
I love that. Me too.
So true.
As someone who doesn't know anything, I resonate with that.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know shit.
I don't know anything.
Same.
All right. Well, when we come back, we got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
Okay, welcome to On the Stand. Every week, we bring a person, place, thing, or an idea to the stand. We either love it, we hate it, we talk about it, we vote if it's guilty or not guilty, bring it to you to vote if it's guilty or not guilty yourself. We usually have a listener on the stand. We have one today.
Oh, yes.
If you want to call, the number is
818-446-6889.
Please call, air your grievances with us. Let us know what's on your mind, what's grinding your gears.
But also, you can leave anything on that answering machine that you want. Like right now, I loved in the last episode we did last week on June 1st, we had like someone spill some tea that has been rattling around inside her, dying to get out. And it like inspired another segment that we want to do. So honestly, call with anything you want. We have another listener, I didn't use this one, who called, who had just toured JonBenet Ramsey's house because it's on the market. And she like had a whole little story. I was like, this is great, but what do we do with it? Doesn't matter. Leave the message and we'll figure it out.
I love that. Well, that can go into the spill the tea segment. Coming soon. We got to figure out exactly what it is. But
tea time.
Tea time.
Mm.
Love it. All right. Do you want to start with the listener?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Hi, this is Katie. I'm calling with my On the Stand today. I want to put on the stand a peanut butter and jelly on wheat bread. Now, I love wheat bread. I love the wheatest of wheat, the most grainy wheat bread that you can ever find. Give it all to me. Give it to me in a sandwich, toast, all the things. But when I want a peanut butter and jelly, I do not want that wheat bread, and all I want is white bread. Like, stick to your roof kind of white bread. Like, the cheapest stuff that you can buy at the grocery store that's nice and fresh and nice and bleached and white. So anyways, I guess my on the stand is I'm prosecuting peanut butter and jelly sandwiches on wheat bread. No thank you.
First of all, jelly's fucked up. So this is all wrong.
Wait, we don't like a jelly? What do you have instead of a PBJ?
You know, I don't like
bananas.
No,
fruit. Do you do peanut butter and banana?
I don't eat peanut butter on a sandwich. I eat peanut butter in I make like a protein shake with like a banana and...
You're missing out on the peanut butter and jelly goodness.
I like a turkey sandwich.
Do this.
I like an egg salad. I like a tuna salad. I don't like a peanut butter sandwich.
You don't like a sweet
sandwich.
Do
you trust me? Toast the bread with a little bit of butter.
She hates jam or jelly.
I'm not done. Toast the bread with a little bit of butter. Peanut butter.
Oh, butter and butter. Peanut butter.
Use the butter. Yeah, use butter on the outside like a grilled cheese. Get it nice and crispy. Peanut butter, banana, boom.
See, peanut butter, banana, that's my favorite combination.
It's awesome.
Delicious.
Because creamy likes creamy. Creamy doesn't like gelatinous.
Yeah,
I do.
Bananas are creamy. So like, it's like... That's a different kind of fruit than a strawberry to me. Mm. Like a banana is so fleshy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ew. Ew. Banana is its own thing.
Banana's my favorite fruit.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Pineapple, I can't believe that comes from the earth, the way that tastes.
It's beautiful.
Or a watermelon.
But pineapple's so flavorful.
It's so flavorful.
It's like one of the best tasting dragon fruit. Like there's some flavors in fruit that I'm like, how?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the Wonder Bread part of this.
Okay.
Because Jared and I literally just bought a loaf of Wonder Bread
two days
ago. No, just from Ralph's. Because of this exact reason. So my mom makes these sandwiches that are... My mom is not a cook. She rarely cooks. This is also not really cooking, but she makes a sandwich.
Everybody knows this sandwich. This is like a This is a
well.
Great
I'm dying.
But this is this. I mean, I love it because my mom made it. That's like where my nostalgia
for sure
comes from. It. Wonder Bread, a ton of mayonnaise, scrambled eggs, and tomato, and then that's it.
No, no cheese.
No cheese.
I can't eat an egg without cheese.
You can throw some cheese in the scramble.
What's so crazy? No, it has to be like as is perfection. Now I'm a person that like I have to have a crunch. Like I need something crunchy in anything that I eat, or else I think it's disgusting. This is the mushiest thing ever, because all it is like a smushy Wonder Bread and
but you
scrambled
love it. It's nostalgia.
It is. No, it's not even nostalgia. It's delicious.
It's
fucking
childhood.
Delicious. But especially because of the Wonder Bread. If it wasn't on Wonder Bread, like she was talking about the wheat bread, it would have been atrocious. The smushy of the Wonder Bread is like
Wonder Bread is so good. I have like a nostalgic turkey sandwich that's like turkey,
yes,
mayo, like a provolone or Munster, like, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like squished together. And then you're eating almost like a cold hot pocket of turkey and cheese.
Ooh.
And the way that it's like the Wonder Bread just gets, it almost does like stick to the top of your mouth. Like it gets like.
Here's the thing. If you're eating bread, you're eating bread. So like wheat, rye, whatever.
Well, that was there's a difference, but there isn't.
That was the diet industry just like trying to brainwash us into buying
wheat
bread.
Carbs are carbs.
And I'm sure if you're really like doing macro or whatever you're doing, like sure there might be something to that, but like you're eating bread.
Not enough to make a difference.
Bread is bread. So
also,
that's how I look at it.
White rice, brown rice, it's all rice.
You know what? Just eat what you like.
Eat what you like in moderation.
Yeah. I say that wheat bread is super guilty.
I think any favorite food, you should have it exactly as you imagine it.
Yeah.
And if your thing is a PBJ from childhood with this white, like you should never deviate.
Yeah. I agree.
Because like, have you ever said to yourself, like it's the calories just aren't worth it if it's not exactly what you want?
Yeah.
You know, like don't settle for the wheat bread, my
don't
friend,
settle.
If that's not what you want.
It's just gross. I don't like wheat
so
bread.
So let's say guilty.
Guilty.
I like wheat bread with butter heaped on it.
I mean,
I have
waited at Jersey Mike's for 30 minutes for them to get the white bread out of the oven because I did not want to have my sandwich on a wheat bread.
But you're like, you hyper fixate on your favorite meal
of
the
day.
But I'm on a purist too. Cause like for me, it's like, it's not even worth getting the Jersey Mike's and wasting my Mike's experience on a wheat bread. Like I want it the way that I want it.
No, it's almost like when we were getting our favorite sandwich from the place down the street, Larchmont Cheese and Wine, and they were out of the one you wanted. You're like, let's just fucking scrap the whole thing. Because if they don't have
my
turkey, then
she called it off.
I called it off.
She did. I was like, I'll get another sandwich. And then you just changed the subject and said that you were going to get an acai bowl. I'm like, huh. So no sandwiches for anyone.
It's just not worth it. It's not worth it. Because then I can't eat it again for like until I'm ready, you know, because I'm not going to until it's time.
Yeah. Well,
until the cycle has happened and then I crave it again. So it's like I didn't want to waste it.
That's
on something
fair.
That I wasn't
I can't
like
relate.
100%
I'm sorry.
In.
I just, if I know. It's good, I'm going to get it. And like,
I can't, but I can
I'll
over.
I'll make an except like exception if they
no,
don't have it.
If I overeat it, I'll get the ick and then I won't want to eat it ever again.
I'm like that too.
Yeah.
We're like, there's a few things I'm taking a break from currently. Ramen.
Oh. No.
Last time it wasn't good for me.
Okay.
And now I'm like,
that sucks.
Disgusted by it.
Because it's so good.
But it's also getting hot. So I feel like after your guys' wedding, I'll be back on the ramen train.
Yeah.
It's not ramen time.
It's not ramen time.
It's a good time to be icked by it.
Did I tell you I had an idea to open a ramen shop called Everybody Loves Ramen?
It's so good.
That's so good.
But someone's going to steal that now. Or it already exists.
I'm sure it exists somewhere.
Yeah.
I'll
someone,
look it up.
There's a pho king.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like pho king.
There's so many good plan words.
Totally.
Especially for pho. I'm going to go.
Great.
So this is an on the stand that is inspired by my mom. She's listening. Hi, mom.
Does May listen to all of them?
I think so.
Love you,
May.
And
my dad, of course.
Love you guys.
Yeah. Hugging. And most specifically, hugging a stranger.
An acquaintance.
Or an acquaintance. Like when you're going like and having a meeting with somebody that you're friendly with, or you're going out to lunch with somebody that like is not one of your best friends. And it's like, it's, you know, you were expected to go and like hug them high and then like hug them bye.
You don't want that anymore.
I don't. Well, I'm really putting this on the stand for my mom because I don't really mind it, but she does. She's like, in 2020, we got rid of the handshakes because we definitely don't need to be shaking hands. Like, that's disgusting.
I still hug your mom. Is she okay with that?
She's okay with that.
Okay.
She likes you.
Okay.
You're in the inner circle.
Good.
But it's more so just like the randoms, you know, like, do I need to be hugging you? Do I need to be getting that close to you?
Probably not.
We really don't. Like, is it an archaic sort of a thing? And like, what does it mean?
I love this because, I know that we both just binged this show, the Jewish matchmaking show.
Yes.
Did you get to the part where it's the Jewish couple who believe in not touching at all before getting married.
Yeah, which is so crazy.
It's crazy, but when they met and they didn't hug, I thought something was missing. I was like, and you know, like when you go on a first date or something, like a blind date, imagine, like, I feel like you need it to like cut the tension almost.
Yes.
Because otherwise you're both just standing there like, hi. Like, and it feels like you're two kindergartners waving from across a table.
Yeah.
Because like to not even touch, for me, I'm too anxious thinking about the awkwardness of not like having a demarcation for when it starts and when it ends.
Yeah. It definitely cuts the tension.
Totally.
Oh my gosh. It's so crazy.
It's like, I feel like some wall has not been like breached and therefore I'm not ready to begin my encounter with you.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like even and I know we're against handshakes, but like some sort of indicator that now our session has begun.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it reminds me like of when, like if you're in a group of people and like somebody's introducing themselves and they like skip by you and then like now you're just like in the midst of somebody and you're like, well, I can't interact with you because we've never actually been introduced.
I have someone like that in our group of friends, but I'm not going to mention him by name, but like, there's a person in our group of friends who I've maybe locked eyes with once, but we've been at like every same event and I've never exchanged a word with him. Never once. And
amazing.
I'm like, okay.
Amazing.
And now it's too late. It's been like,
I can't believe that's who you just, that is fucking hilarious.
That is so
because
funny.
Because pretty much me too.
Really?
Yeah. Oh my God. And Jared
but like,
has known
but
this
I've
person
been in
for way
with
longer.
Him, but I've ever since like Pink House days, he was around. And like, I've never even, and we've been like sitting next to each other and still no exchange because it's too late now.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I can't introduce myself.
Oh,
he knows exactly
boy.
Who I am.
Oh boy. Can I speak to this?
Oh my God. I love this.
Yes.
Jared's getting all rowdy. He's clutching his glass real tight.
Wow. Thanks mom for this.
Every tour that I've ever done with my band, at some point, it's too late to introduce yourself to somebody.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And on every, I'm not fucking kidding, on every tour we've ever done, there's been at least one guy whom I did not meet.
Oh,
and
no.
Here's where it all fucking comes full circle.
Oh, goodness.
At the end of every tour, there's a group photo that's taken at some point on the last day of the tour. Every time, everybody shows up, takes the photo together, and then we all leave, say, great luck on your next endeavor.
Yeah.
And then you hug and high five and say bye to everybody. And you have to strategically
avoid
the one person that you never met.
Dude,
on the tour.
Why don't you make it a thing where you like go and introduce yourselves the first day so that doesn't happen?
I've done that a lot more recently.
Like that should just be a thing you do.
I've done it a lot more recently, but in the past.
Especially if you're headlining.
No, but you sometimes.
Well, 100% if you're headlining.
Sometimes have to confront things because I was at a party on Saturday with a few people like this who I've been at same parties with a bajillion times. And sometimes you just have to say like, I'm always in the same room with you and we've never actually talked.
Yeah.
So like you know, I've said that a few times and it really works.
If you just cut right to it and you're
if
like,
if you cut to
hey,
it,
dude,
you're like, hey, how
have
we
yeah.
never
yeah.
even, but like that's the thing, being super direct and airing it out helps. And I'm good at that now without it being awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I can psych myself up to be like, pretend you're confident.
Yeah.
And then I can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a way around it, but like, it's not an easy way. And if I'm in an anxious state, there's no chance I'm doing it. I have to be a few drinks in to like be like, you're cool enough to be like, hey, I'm finally doing this.
Yeah.
You know? But it's you gotta do some power poses first.
Power poses. Go
in
go
the
to the bathroom, look in the mirror. But to be
hands
fair,
on your
a
waist.
Lot of this happened when I was younger. But but like every tour, there's that one guy and you're like, oh shit, the final day's coming.
It's funny
up.
That we have one of the same ones.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go back to the hugging and I'm gonna say it's not guilty because I think that you're right, and it is like an indicator of like this social interaction and interchange. Wow, this social interaction is starting right now. And I think that's a really good way to like demark it.
I think niceties are important. And if I'm going to a meeting with a man, I'm fine with a handshake.
Yeah.
If it's a romantic context, I feel like it needs to be a hug.
It needs to be a hug.
If it's another woman, I feel like pressured for a hug, you know, like because women don't really handshake.
No, that's even weirder.
Yeah, that's the thing. I just want to avoid weirdness at all costs because I will look them in the eye and be even weirder about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll be like, be cool, man. And
be like, this was weird. Okay, how do I make it not weird? Now I'm making it weirder.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
No, I agree. I don't mind the hugs that much. But you know, my mom, she's like.
But when your mom, you give so few fucks that it's not weird.
Yeah.
And she's not at home thinking about the weirdness she caused by not hugging someone.
No, she's like, what germs are they giving me right now?
She's feeling better about not having the germs.
Yes.
And that outweighs the awkwardness.
It does. Absolutely.
I support you, May. Not guilty.
Not guilty
for you, guilty for me.
Yes.
All right.
Do you want to go?
I need a bookend, yeah.
Oh, right. Okay, I've got one, and it's an anecdote.
Okay.
So I go to the snail place in Burbank,
mm-hmm.
and not Nail Nation, which I mentioned earlier. This is Vibes Nail, Vibes Nails.
You have multiple nail salons?
Yeah, one year work, one year home. And they have like a picture of Audrey Hepburn blowing a bubble, like the bubblegum one.
Mm-hmm.
It's like very Parisian themed. Mm. And the picture is just slightly crooked.
And
I've been going there for like 2 years. And I'm like, how? I noticed it.
Immediately.
Oh, and like no one cares.
Oh, no.
This would drive me
absolutely
nuts.
Been there because I still go. Yeah. And no one, and I'm like, am I a dick? Am I an asshole if I go fix it?
What's the name?
And that's not on the stand, but like I'm putting on the stand like passive ignoring of an easy fix.
Mm.
And also like maybe I'm defending people fixing things like that in public places. If
pride
it's,
of ownership.
Yeah.
Take care of your space.
You know what? Yeah. Maybe they're just too busy making that money that they don't care.
What's the place that we went to after we did the photo shoot with you and Matt? The restaurant that we went
to?
The
little French cafe.
Oh, hello.
We went to La Poubelle, which means the trash can in Francais, if you need to know, for when we're in France.
Oh, I did not know.
I'm going to practice my French, by the way.
Not La Poubelle. No. Oh, well, that's the photo shoot.
Schwartz
for
and Sandy's?
Degree. No, no, not that night. The night where we did Jack and I's
That
photos.
Was in Los Feliz.
Oh.
Do you remember that place?
It was the little Parisian.
Oh, Cafe Figaro.
Okay, so there were a lot of misaligned things on the wall in
Tell
that place.
Tell me.
Were there?
My brain was going nuts. When
really?
I was like, everything in this room is off. Everything is off.
Yeah, it's kind of chaotic in there. But it's kind of like an Alice in Wonderland French vibe in
but
there.
But it's like
yeah.
Parisian decor. It's like, that's yeah. how it is. And like, there's a charm to it.
Haphazard.
When I'm walking in and I'm not in France and I'm like not, I was just like so thrown. My OCD goes
yeah,
nuts.
Yeah, it was a little chaotic
dude.
In there.
Well, the snail place, it's a very sterile environment and it's super clean and super nice. It's like one of the nicest nail salons I've ever been in. So that's why this crooked picture is so out of place.
That's where it needs to be straight.
And I'm like, it's not like a gallery wall where one is crooked. It's one giant photo.
And it's been crooked for years.
By at least 30 degrees.
That's
like,
insane.
Like the most insane crooked picture I've ever seen. And I'm like, am I putting myself on the stand for fixing it, wanting to fix it, or am I putting them on the stand for ignoring it?
I don't know.
And also, who's...
And what do you do in that situation?
Right.
What do you do?
Because you don't want to be offensive. Like, if you go fix their shit, they're like, what if it's like, it was my grandma's superstition that you leave paintings at 30% off?
Dude.
I don't know. That's a hard one. I don't know what you do. I think you just got to, like, take a Xanax before you go in.
I'm putting myself on the stand. Are you allowed to fix things like that? That
I'm going to say guilty.
Of fixing.
Yes.
Don't do it. Don't touch other people's things is where we're going.
I just could see this being a curb episode for sure. And having it
right
turn into
I'm
like
at.
A huge blunder.
Yeah. I don't think I would ever
like
do
you
it.
Go try to fix it and it is something like that. That like, this is my grandma's dying
like
wish.
A safe hidden behind it. And then I out it. And then
and you
everyone,
like knock the
robbed.
Alarm. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. I could see that going south very quickly.
Yeah. I don't think I would touch it. I think that's guilty.
Okay. Guilty. I love that though.
Stay away
and I'm
from
sorry
nothing.
For you, and that would also cause
Pick
me
anxiety.
I haven't been going there anymore.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I can't live with this burden. Yeah.
No,
leave
I wouldn't
a Yelp
be able to
review.
Do
that. Be like, hey, that photo.
That Audrey Hepburn bubblegum picture is
actually
hella crooked.
You could no, you wouldn't leave a Yelp. I'm like, you could leave a Yelp review by still giving it 5 stars.
Should I call and leave an anonymous voicemail?
Yeah.
When they're closed?
Like, I'd love to come back, but my OCD is not letting me.
Yeah.
Guilty. Don't touch that thing.
Guilty.
Guilty and innocent.
Jared?
Today, I'm putting on the stand something that affected us today.
What?
Street sweeping.
Okay.
Well, we need that.
Why are we sweeping the streets?
Because like, they're dirty. We live in a dirty city.
So what's it?
It's cleaning. It sweeps up trash.
Does it?
I think.
There's trash everywhere.
Imagine how much trash would be there if they didn't sweep it.
I think they
would
suck.
There?
I think they suck it up.
I don't know.
And I think they also put water down.
They do?
What does that do?
Maybe it's just a union.
I don't think I've ever really seen a street sweeper.
What does
in
it do?
I don't know, but the parking enforcement.
This is where
is
I'm
problematic,
leading.
And I'm in 2-hour parking, and it's been way more than that,
dude.
Well, I'm also confused. I'm just confused.
So,
by
for
it.
Anyone who doesn't live in like the greater like Hollywood or like LA area, street sweeping here it's different because you got to vacate that side of the street. I don't know. I mean, any city, I suppose.
Yeah.
I'm
do they do it in other cities?
I'm just a boy from the suburbs, but. Here, there's nowhere to park if they block off one entire side of the street. My problem is, I don't think I've ever looked at a street and said, wow, look at how
dirty.
Swept this street is.
Because that's how dirty they are.
No, but like, honestly, today when we were parking in the street sweeping, the entire side of the street was vacated and it didn't look that dirty to me. I'll say that.
that's what Jared's point was.
It's pretty clean already.
Yeah.
There's so not a single leaf on the floor.
What are we doing?
I don't know.
What is it?
It's probably a union that... Do you know what I learned? This is going to be a wrinkle in the brain.
What?
Google like the scaffolding unions.
Okay.
Oh.
Because apparently in like cities like New York, they mandate that people like scaffold. Like there's some crazy union that buildings every like 3 years have to have like full fucking scaffolding. Like they mandate these crazy things because the unions are really powerful.
Oh.
Interesting. And
this could be the case with street sweeping. I'm going to have to do a deeper dive.
Interesting.
I got to find out more about the street sweeping thing because I don't know anything about it. All I know is like I've never looked at a street and thought, wow, this really needs a street sweeper.
I want to look into the street sweeping conspiracy. I bet we could find some shit.
Mm.
Look at scaffolding while you're at it. Oh, no. Now I remember what happened. So the scaffolding thing happened where they mandated the scaffolding thing happened because one person died because a brick fell off a building.
Oh, shit.
In New York.
Oh, so having it as like a canopy almost is probably safer.
But no, but like they just want the facades of buildings checked every so many years.
Gotcha.
But like even new ones, like, but like that's why, you know, they have like Instagram versus reality where it's like you see the Plaza Hotel.
Yeah.
And it's like normally it's covered in scaffolding. It'll be up for like 2 years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even though they don't need it.
Oh, yeah.
But they have some like minimum requirement of scaffolding that needs to be up.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow. That is a new wrinkle.
Look it up.
That's a great wrinkle.
Matt told me about it. I was blown away.
Well, I'm going to say, I don't know, street sweeping? I'm undecided.
That's where I'm at. I'm undecided. But today, it's guilty because it took us so long to find parking.
I'm going
to
say guilty in Los Angeles only because of our taxes and how poorly the city is being maintained.
Yeah.
So I'll say guilty because I think that money could be better spent on the homeless.
Yeah, literally.
Frankly. So I'll agree with you in LA. I don't know how it's handled in other cities, though.
Yeah.
All right. Well, when we come back, it is time for some True Crime Rewind.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the RealReal makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For the RealReal, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on TheRealReal.com using code FIRST. That's TheRealReal.com using the code FIRST.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
Okay, so we're going to get into Big Brother a little bit. Because, like we said earlier, Big Brother is reality. We're living in this fucking book for a lot of different reasons. And I'll just start off with just like Big Brother in general, right? Like, Big Brother is the leader of this like entire party that is controlling its Oceania.
We're speaking in the context of 1984.
1984.
And we're going to compare it to real life.
Yes.
Cool. Got it.
So obviously, Big Brother, there's like a Big Brother TV show. Like, we all understand the concept of Big Brother. Well,
2 weeks ago, we talked about Big Bed and how they're pushing top sheets
That's
on all of
true.
Us.
That's true. Big Bed. Well, Big Bed and like Big Pharma is different than Big Brother.
Well,
it's pretty
I am
funny.
A Big Brother.
You're a Big Brother.
That's pretty cool.
Physically and emotionally.
Large brother, but also an older brother.
Big Brother.
Yes.
Yeah, big guy.
But I don't think that's what we're talking about.
So... Big Brother in general, but let's get into the telescreens that you were talking about, Lex.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I blew the lid off that one.
I mean, it's okay. But this is where they basically had all these big screens in everybody's homes that watched them.
And told them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, here, do this exercise routine.
Yeah.
And they were like keeping track on like people's, I don't know if it was their heart rate, their facial expressions. Like, they're watching like basically everything that you're
and
doing.
And you weren't allowed to read. So like, yeah. If you had a book, like, you'd have to try to, like, I think one of the character, the main character was like hiding a book.
Yeah.
And you never knew if they were watching or not, because obviously you can't watch everyone at once, but the fear mongering is there that they're going to catch you with a book or something.
So it's like basically comparing it to our world with our fucking phones and the TVs and iPads and computer screens and
proven like Alexa and things like that, listening to people previously.
Well, like, it's like, yeah, the surveillance of like data mining or like the Alexas.
Or you say you want a turkey burger and then you get 6 Genio commercials on your Hulu and your Instagram and your TikTok within 20 minutes.
Yes.
The most random shit.
Oh, yeah. And everybody knows that. I mean, I don't think there's a single person who hasn't experienced that.
Everyone's right. But it's still more Big Brother-y. I think it has become so slowly normalized.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's completely normalized.
But like, now we're kind of cool with it. I am. I'm like, cool, sell me shit I just said I wanted.
Well, that's the thing with like the whole surveillance of it all. It's like, oh, you know, whoever is watching, I'm like, unfortunately, that's just like how our world is.
Right. And it's fine unless you're Brian Koberger. Yeah. And they're looking into you for something. Like, don't break the law. And then this is pretty arbitrary information, right?
Yeah, but I'm like, you're going to see the fucking million times I go to Revolve every morning, like browsing for skirts
to
wear.
You should see the shit I look up on the internet. Like, it's so boring, but
stupid.
Also fascinating. But it would be useful if I was
I'd be so boring. It'd be like, he hasn't moved in 3 hours. Okay, now he's eating a frozen grape. And now he's sitting
hours.
In the same spot again.
He's spitting some seeds out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Like, his grapes are...
They'd change the channel.
It would be like Idiocracy.
Quick. Yeah.
But 1984. Okay, so the next thing is Newspeak. It says it's a purposefully ambiguous, confusing language with restricted grammar and limited vocabulary used, according to Orwell, to diminish the range of thought. For example, in Newspeak, the term plus good had replaced words like better and great.
Plus good. That's funny.
I know. So, I mean, you can kind of compare this just to how everything is kind of like shoved down our throats, especially with like politics and media and everything like that.
The way that things are soft padded to like to sound nicer.
Yeah.
I know that there's a thing happening, and I don't know how I feel about it. It's not really like I'm not like trying to get like I don't know, divisive or anything, but I know that in school, like, I've heard that there are younger kids are being told, instead of like, you're wrong, it's like, why don't you try thinking about that in a different way?
I don't hate that, though.
Really?
But what if it's math?
Math is just different.
My only thing is like...
But math, okay, unless you're going into a mathematical field, listen, I value basic math and you should be able to quantify things. And I know it's like more abstract because you need to be able to like envision it and know the quantities and what that means. But
I guess I'm just saying, I think there is value in speaking directly.
Yeah.
And like, and I think this is kind of what they're saying is like, by speaking indirectly, you allow people to infer, or it's like, it's way less.
It dilutes your conviction.
Yes. That's
it dilutes
your
like the purpose, you know, of your your thought.
Well, and it was saying how it was used to it. it would detail how language can be misused to deceive and control the masses, basically, yes. Which is fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
There was also the thought police and thought crime. So that was basically like you could commit a crime by thinking the wrong thing that goes against what Oceania and Big Brother is like basically telling you. And then the thought police can arrest you.
Thought police.
And it's like, I mean, it's just crazy with things like cancel culture and just how crazed like politically the world has gotten that stuff is, you know.
But in a very applicable way, it is a fine line because you can go to jail forever for conspiracy, yes. Right? So like Charles Manson is an example. He didn't physically kill anyone, but he conspired to, and he served more. His sentence was more severe than everybody. So yeah. It depends. It's splitting hairs in some ways.
Yeah.
And obviously the intent behind it matters, but I think we are dealing with some thought police stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
In some ways.
Well,
like
I mean,
you're not allowed to question certain things anymore.
Yeah. And
definitely not authority.
No.
Well, you're allowed to question.
Yeah, but you'll get in trouble or canceled. I'm not going to give any examples because I'm not going to.
Depends on which way you're jump going into about it.
No, yeah. I'm not going to get into that. But there's a few examples I can think of off the top of my head that are pretty controversial that I'm like, I just have questions.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it doesn't track for me.
Yeah.
And I know that if I ever said my questions that I'd get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though I just want to know more.
Well, and that's the problem.
And that is kind of like, I guess that does what you're saying about thought police. It's like it's almost controlling the way that you're thinking outwardly about certain subjects.
And exactly.
And right. I think that's bad for the evolution of like discussion and progression as a species, honestly.
Well, but that's the reason why they had it in 1984 and how it is like kind of making its way. It's more like speak police and speak crime.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like where it's things that like you can't question things that are going on because if you do it the wrong way, then you're going to get in trouble.
Well, like North Korea is another good example where it's like you can't question anything or they'll fucking throw you in a cell for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Even if you're like, is this the right way to live?
Yeah.
Should we be starving and miserable and doing dances when diplomats come visit, even though we're like living in poverty? You know, it's just like you can't say that or they'll kill you.
It's so strange, these parallels, though. You know, going back that far, and you think about, because what year was this book written?
1949.
49.
Crazy, 80 years ago.
But that must have been on the precipice of some, like, weren't they blacklisting people? It was like the communist fears, right?
Yeah.
Back then. So it's like, there must have been something that obviously inspired this, where people were getting thrown on that list for no reason. Just like if someone had a gripe with you.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So I want to go to, like, two things that were in the book that are not concept, they were things that we have. So one of them was the speak right, and it was basically a recording device that you speak into it and it converts speech into text on the telescreen, like to write. So we have like, I mean, that's your phones,
Siri,
speech to text,
voice memos,
speech to text, the whole thing. And then the other one that I thought was interesting is called the VersaFactor. It says in 1984, the VersaFactor was a tool that automatically produces music and literature in line with ruling party standards without human input. So it's like basically like AI.
That is
which is
so crazy.
This guy fucking
so insightful.
So crazy. So it said
so like progressive.
The purpose of the VersaFactor is to provide a means of producing creative, quote unquote, output without having any of the party members having to actually engage in a creative thought. It was capable of producing newspapers containing content similar to that found in modern day tabloid, blah, 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 sports, crime, and astrology. And then it could also produce films, low quality paperback novels, and music.
You know what's wild is if you go back in history, there's like certain people were just so right.
Yeah.
There's this quote from Jim Morrison.
I was going to say that.
And
that Skrillex used in that song.
And he basically says,
it's prophetic.
They were asking him about the future of like music.
Of music,
where do you see music being like, you know, 40, 50 years in the future? He says, I envision music being a lot easier to create for one person. I imagine one person amongst a sea of computers able to manipulate and control music to their whim. And you said Skrillex used that as a sample?
Well, they did. It was like a Doors collaborations kind of thing that Skrillex
put out. But
he's
basically talking about DJs. But like well before that was even a remote possibility.
Yeah.
And so you just look at these people who had this incredible foresight. Like 1984, yeah, it's terrifying, but what's even scarier about it is that a lot of that stuff, I can draw a parallel to almost every single thing in that book.
Yeah.
Like, to a T.
Yeah.
No, it's insane.
It's terrifying.
And you can find someone prophetic in almost every group. Like, take Lala Kent from Vanderpump, because that woman predicted literally everything that happened.
That's right. She's basically George Orwell.
I can't wait to be her friend. It is going to happen. I'm being a prophet in predicting that.
Okay.
I think she'll come on our podcast.
Okay.
She likes your crime, unless that was a Dateline ad, and that's fine. Please, I just feel that that's going to happen.
Okay. I love you putting this out into the
universe. We've manifested.
See you soon, Lala.
We're manifesting. Yeah. All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to hear about some bad things you people did.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup Pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey, naughty friends, we're gonna just jump right into it, shall we?
Here we go.
Yes.
Hi, so my name, I don't know if you guys will remember me, but my name is Madeline, and I actually sent two of my friends over to you guys to do stories. It was episode 220, Garland Joseph Nelson, and episode 224, Anna Marie Emery. So I don't have a story for your main episode, but I do have a worstie firstie, so I thought I'd call and give that. So back when I was in college, I had a boyfriend. He was like my first serious boyfriend. We were together for like a year and a half. He was kind of shitty and cheated on me, you know, that kind of stuff, but I never broke up with him right away. But one random night, I was over at his apartment, and we had sex. And I had this, like, right after he went to the bathroom, I was laying in bed, and I had this, like, existential crisis. Like, I was just laying there, just thinking, like, oh, my God, I don't love you. I don't even think I really like you. Like, you're kind of a shitty person. And I, like, couldn't hold it in any longer. So I got up, started bawling. I was like, I have to leave. I'm done. Like, I'm leaving you, and I have to go. The dude tried to give me gas money, like, as I was breaking up with him, carried all my stuff out to my car. So, like, we literally just had sex. I broke up with him, and he's trying to give me money and carry my shit out to my car. So the next day, I went home, and then the next day, he texted me and said, so, is that it? And I said, yep, and then I never talked to him again. So, kind of shitty doing it right after sex, but honestly, I don't regret it. All right, so, love you guys. Thanks. Bye.
Madeline, what you did, first of all, thank you for sending us those two firsties.
Yes.
Because they were so good.
So,
like,
good.
Truly. And yeah. I think we shouted you out at the one of those episodes, because I did know that you sent your friends. So
yeah.
Thank you for that. But I'll say, men have pulled some weird shit on me like this before.
Oh, yeah.
Not after sex per se, but after, like, a phenomenal date.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Unfriending me on Facebook after you said you wanted to meet my mom. Like, crazy.
Whoa.
Weird shit. This is just, that didn't actually happen, but
yeah,
it's an
yeah.
example.
The contrast.
Oh my
yeah.
God, shit like that happened.
But, like,
all
you
the
gotta
time.
Do, and, like, if you can muster some gumption in that moment where you're like, this is not right for me, your feelings matter more than theirs.
Well, what you had was a gut reaction, you know? And it's
epiphany.
Like, an epiphany. And, like, to be honest, breakups fucking suck. They're gonna
no
suck if you sat him down, like, and were so nice to him and, like, let him down slowly. It's gonna hurt him just as much. Like,
breakups
you ripped
no
off the
what.
Band-aid. It was a bad experience for him. He probably fucking hates you. But, like, this happens to women every day because men suck.
And they don't even care to, like, they don't even feel bad about it. The fact that
no.
you're calling this in means you're a better person than most men.
Yeah, you felt bad about it. But, like, honestly, like, everybody has these fucking experiences. You just were on that. You're... As a gender, we're usually on the other receiving end of it, which is why you feel so bad.
But also, you had a gut, you start crying. That's like a nervous system response to something. Like, you
yeah.
had a revelation that, like, activated your nervous system that there was no coming back from. Like,
yeah.
you weren't going to be able to, like, kiss him again. Like, you had this, like, physical, you were like repulsed
yeah.
in some way. I think you honored yourself, and I don't think this is a worstie at all.
I think that this was just, yeah, it was a very character building experience for you.
Yeah, and you honored the way you felt.
I think he was probably on a wild ride after that. He's probably like, what? He was probably had to do some soul searching
like,
after that.
I'm not good in bed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, I did probably something. Like, oh, did I say my mom's name? Yeah. Like, he probably went through these, like...
Yeah, he's
like,
rewinding every
honestly,
moment.
Honestly, none of that's your problem. You did what you needed to do, and you need to protect your inner self and your soul and from anyone at all times.
Once the ick sets in, there's really not much any
that's
man
right,
can
do. The flip switched, and she was ick.
Yeah. The ick switch.
The switch flipped.
What did I say?
You said the flip switch.
Whatever, same thing.
Right.
All right, well, let's leave him with another stanza.
Hit him, Lex.
This one's called Big George is Watching.
Oh.
In every shadow, in every corner, he's watching you at every turn. He's the TV in the cameras. Your movements are of his concern.
Oh.
He's always watching, always waiting, making sure you follow rules. He's elitist in his thinking and sees us all as helpless fools. Is it the government, the CIA, a man with an identity forged? It's then you realize, with dismay, it's not Big Brother, it's Big George.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
That might be my favorite
bangers
one.
Today.
So all this good. Morning. All this morning.
Oh my God.
So good. I loved
it. We might
it.
Need to put these out as like an album.
I'm down, but
I think Alexis's greatest hits would be great.
Sometimes, though, I can't do it, but when I can do it, I'm like, do more.
I mean,
yeah,
while you have it, you know?
Be careful, because don't put the bar too high.
But like Big George is Watching feels good.
That was good.
Love you guys.
Love you.
Bye.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.